Hebrews chapter 13 this morning. It is good to see you. It is good to be in church. Say, Pastor, where's your heart? Where's your head at? I'm excited about the things of God. We got young people coming back from camp, just stirred in their heart. We got VBS this week. We got a God who never fails. Praise the Lord. We got VBS this week. Summit next week. Unbelievable. Excited about that. If you haven't been, I don't know if it's too late or not, but maybe make a decision. We got some people up in up north there, and at Harvest Bound, we got the Primers up there and the Rodells, and they're at another camp up there. Hebrews chapter 13, our theme verse for the year. We don't preach on it every Sunday, but I would like to reference it here this morning. In verse 15, it says actually, but him, Hebrews 13, 15, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Did you do that this week? Did you set aside some time and just thank the Lord for who he is, what he has done? Say, no, I missed that. You got to be careful not to miss that. Because when we miss that, you know what begins to develop in our heart? Unthankfulness, covetousness. But when we regularly offer the sacrifice of praise, thanking God just for who he is, it just keeps us in line, keeps us in check. But verse 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. On the front of your bulletin this morning, Mr. Bauman, you put a picture of our Africa trip, our last Africa trip. I saw that picture there this morning and just reminded me of that day. Do you remember that day? You saw the bulletins. People are like, well, I didn't get a bulletin this morning. Well, that's your fault. They're there. We have people that give them to you. Put them right in your hand. On the front there is the last time we went to Africa there. And Brother Barnhouse got a group together, took our whole group, I think it was, and we got in vehicles. Always an exciting thing to get in vehicles in Africa. And there we were riding down the road. We stop at the little T-junction there, and he buys dinner. Say, oh, how nice. What was that like? Live livestock. There we were traveling with chickens and things, girls holding chickens in the bottom of their vehicles. I don't know, but they were about to be dinner, and we went over to this town, I don't know, a little ways away, and got a chance to make dinner there, and Seth preached that night, right? And girls helped with, and the kids helped with putting dinner together. Blake, you remember making dinner over there? We have pictures, if you forgot, and videos, and girls taking parts of chicken, wrapping it around other parts of chicken, both of which you wouldn't eat normally. And then when you put those two things together, you really did not want to eat it. I will save you from the details of that. Say, why would you go that far to do that thing? Because it was good. And it gave us an opportunity to be able to share the gospel again. And that is our reminder here today. To do good and communicate, forget not. It is easy to get caught up with life and get focused on us. That's why the first verse tells us to remind us to regularly thank God. I thank God for the country that I live in. I thank God for the Word of God that leads us and guides us, that is the pillar of truth in our life. Thankful. Thank God for our families and our friends and safety and how he provides. Don't forget that. But that's only half of it. The other half is to go and do. If the Lord is the Savior of your life, there ought to be an example of that. We ought to see that. Not me and you, but him. Multiple times in the scriptures it tells us to prove our love to him. How do we do that? Oh, I get him a card. I send him I stop at Wegmans and I pick up. No, no. Our proof for our love for the Lord and who he is, who he says he is demonstrated by our actions. James tells us, faith without works. Hey, that's a dead faith in your life. We have an opportunity to serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But we got to be careful not to do it on our terms, but on his. Turn with me to Matthew chapter number 5. Matthew chapter number 5. Let us pray and then we'll look at this passage. Heavenly Father, thank you for this morning. Lord, it was good to sing to you today. Lord, that last song there of blessed assurance. Lord, I'm thankful that you have made yourself known unto us and you have saved us. And Lord, that's my story. Lord, thank you for changing my life. Thank you for changing the direction of my life. Thank you for giving me hope and purpose. Lord, I pray that you bless the service here today. Lord, I need you. Lord, I pray that with a humble heart, may I deliver this message here today. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a dog. He's 75.2 pounds. I know this because I took him to the vet this week. Say, oh, good, just routine? No, not routine. Trapper's allergic. To what? Yes. Yes. Answer's yes. So now he needs to take a anti-itching medicine. We had to get clinical shampoo for him. He has 2 antibiotics and a steroid that he has to take every day, twice a day. Not to mention the lampshade that we have to attach to his neck. To prevent him from licking and I suggested he be the grand prize this week at VBS. Some young child will go home with a pro-allergy dog. He's a little off in his balance because of the solar dish that's on his neck. He does get the radio stations out of Toronto, which help, which is good. But he's a little off balance, and I find that he's needy, he's just a pain, because he's got this giant thing strapped to his head, and he just wants to be closer, and that's a pain. Like, literally a pain. Because he takes this giant lampshade, he crashes into your leg, and more so than normal, he's stepping on my feet, making himself aware that he's there. This morning's message might step on our feet a little bit. It might, when Trapper, 75 pounds, puts his little foot on my foot, I know he's there. Hey, the message may touch a spot in our heart this morning to which should prompt a response by us. We need to be careful that we not just get our toes stepped on a little bit, that we not just push back, but say, is there something going on the inside? And I want you, these are going to be familiar passages, but I want you to evaluate this in your own heart as we look at the thought of doing good. Hey, I want to encourage you this morning at the same time. There's a benefit of doing right and doing good. Doing all we can for the Lord. Really, if God is who He says He is, then we ought to serve Him to the fullest. But again, He dictates what that looks like. I don't come up with these plans and ideas and say, all right, God, here's my plan. You bless this. No, we come to God and say, all right, God, you've got to lead us and guide us, and what you tell us to do, I got to be okay with. Any parents here today? Ever make suggestions to your children? Hey, I think it would be a really good idea to not throw rocks at your brother. God makes and tells us things for our benefit. Yeah, but I don't want to do it that way. Well, be careful. You might get your toes stepped on a little bit, but you might have to adjust to what it is that God is speaking to us about here today. And in Matthew chapter number 5, we're going to see phrases that we're familiar with. The world throws them around. Verse 38. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 38. Ye have heard that it hath been said. Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. We've heard that before, have we not? Before you knew the Lord, you heard that. Eye for an eye. That's what we call revenge. That's what we call justice. Yesterday we were at my grandparents, my mom's dad and stepmom's 60th wedding anniversary yesterday. Drove out to Buffalo, got a chance to see a cousin of mine that lives down south, and we don't get to see him very often. Growing up, he was I had a cousin a little bit older, a little bit younger, and us three would, every family get together, we would see each other. He is an investigator for the police department down in Charlotte. I said, what kind of cases do you get? And he goes, murder. Whew. You know what he's looking for? He's looking for justice. You took this person's life, therefore, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. It just makes sense. Exodus chapter 21 tells us this. And then Christ shows up. See, you and I, that makes sense. You broke this of mine, therefore you have to repay the value. It's written within the law. Verse 39. Might want to pull your toes in a little bit underneath the chair this morning. Because Christ will be walking up and down the aisles. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. So what does smiting on the cheek mean? That was counted as an insult. Remember back in, I introduced Hudson to classic cartoons. Say, what are classic cartoons? Popeye, Bugs Bunny, Elmer Fudd. He's asking to watch them. I can't turn them on because I sit down and end up watching. I'm laughing, right? And when they challenge one to a duel, right? They take off their glove and whoosh. Man, it just makes me laugh. I don't know. It was an insult. No harm. Smiting on the cheek was counted as... look at Luke chapter number 22. When insulted, what do? I come back with vengeance and force. eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. No. Christ said something else. In Luke chapter number 22 and verse 63, but the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? This is Luke chapter 22, verse 63, 64, now verse 65. And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. In Isaiah chapter 50, actually, I'll read it to you. It says this. In Isaiah 50, verse 6, I gave my back to smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off my hair. I hid not my face from, listen now, shame and spitting. Hey, the smite across his face, although it could have been painful, it was an insult and shameful. So when smitten on thy right cheek, what do you do? When insulted, I don't think you should, I don't know, maybe stay there and be pummeled. But let's just talk about the thought of being insulted. What is accomplished by turning the other cheek? Well, I'll tell you two things right off the bat. A greater dispute does not arise. For the Lord, are you willing to take a hit? Are you willing to be insulted? So now, here's how I'm going to serve the Lord. Let me explain it. I'm going to build. It's going to be wonderful. People are going to become, and they're going to singing my praises. That's not how it works. And Christ is telling his disciples, he says, all right, when you go out, here's what's going to happen. They're going to insult you. They're going to make fun of you. Maybe at the workplace, Brother Rice. What do you do? Well, I need to defend the name of Christ. That's not what he told us. That's not what he demonstrated. When insulted, sometimes the best thing to do is just take the hit. That goes against our nature. That goes against who I am as a person, as a man, I want to rear up. I want justice. I want someone to lose an eye. But the Lord taught us to turn the other cheek. See, we don't serve the Lord on our terms. We serve him on his. See, how on earth did 12 guys turn the world upside down for the gospel's sake? Because they looked at some of these and said, all right, let's do it. Let's go all in. We're going to do what Christ told us to do. To turn the other cheek. Say, is that beneficial? That is beneficial. So when we do good, sometimes it counts, or sometimes it costs an insult. So we take it. I'll tell you, the best road to travel upon is the high road. You use your social media and you post a Bible verse and someone comes at you, or, hey, I'm sorry that offended you, but you just apologize and try and take the high road. You don't go backwards. You start casting thorns. You start responding in the way that you've been responded to. You'll not glorify Christ in that. Number one, turn the other cheek. Number two, that one went so well, let's do verse 40. All right, very good. Verse 40 says, and if any man will sue thee at the law, Matthew chapter 5 and verse 40, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. These are two outer garments worn. A coat is like a jacket or a covering. The cloak was like an exterior tunic. It was wide, long, reaching to the ankles, but usually without sleeves. If any man sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. What a strange thought. Years ago, well, almost over 20 years ago, I got in an accident. Looking back, probably wasn't all my fault, but at the time I was scared, and the young man, I was 22, and the young man sued me for $25,000. So going back 20 years, getting sued for $25,000, I didn't have $25,000. I was very concerned, very nervous, quite honestly, pretty upset. Have you ever been sued? That was my only and last, I hope, time that would ever happen. That's nerve-wracking. You got lawyers calling you, insurance companies calling you. Say, what happened? The insurance company covered it. Years later, I would see that young man at the DMV in a nice new red car. And I thought to myself, that's my car. I kind of bought that car. And this is the 22-year-old speaking. And if it's my car, I can do whatever I want with that car, even while maybe the driver is away from that car. Like a nice racing stripe down the side with a key. No. Someone takes your coat, give them thy cloak also. What a different mentality. In John chapter 19, look here. Jesus is on the cross. You know what I love about Christ? Say what? Everything. But the things that he taught us, he did. So when he told us to turn the other cheek and you say, that's impossible, and he is in the worst case scenario of this, Mrs. Baer, and he demonstrates it. And then here he is, he's naked pretty much, hanging on the cross. Pilate answered and said in verse 22, what I have written, I have written. And when the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments, and made four parts to every soldier a part, and also his coat. His garments and his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from top throughout. And they said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. He let them have it. Say, how do you know that? Because he could have stopped them. Again, when we study the scriptures, he could have stopped all this. And his cloak also. When you serve him with all that we have, willing, listen now, when we serve the Lord to the fullest, we're willing to lose everything we have for him. It's for him. And that's what he's trying to teach us in Matthew chapter 5. Our pride, when smitten, turn the other cheek. When sued, let him take everything. In verse 41, and whosoever, Matthew chapter number 5, in verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Again, we're familiar with this story and understand the principle. A Roman soldier at any time under their law could mandate a Hebrew citizen to carry his things, his belongings. How far? A mile. A Roman mile is 1,000 paces, approximately 5 feet in each, so maybe a little less than an English mile, but still, not an easy walk, because they could ask you at any moment, and then you're a mile out of where you ought to be. Then have to get a mile back. And then he says, go two. Go two. I don't like going one. I don't want to go 1 mile. They're the enemy. They're oppressing us. Did Christ demonstrate this? Well, let's see. Matthew chapter number 26. Matthew 26. Could you go a little further for somebody? When asked to go 1 mile, is that your limit? All right, when serving the Lord, when doing something kind for somebody, that they asked me to do this, that's as far as I'm going to go. Christ says, how about you double that, 100% more? Do you see the difference? We have a hard time going one, and Christ says, go two. Matthew chapter 26 and verse 38. Here he is, he's praying in the garden. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And look at what he says. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. See, I'm not asked to carry anybody's bag a mile. And Christ is showing us here. Here they were tired, they were weary, they were worn. It's been a stressful time. Christ knows what's coming. All right, let's just get on with this. If you've ever had surgery, right? And they come in and say, we're delaying your surgery by an hour. Ugh! There you are, sitting in a gown, having drank some crazy liquid juice and, whatever. And you know, I just want this done with. What do you think Christ was thinking? He knew what was coming. You know what? I'm just going to postpone it a little bit. I'm just going to go a little bit further in prayer. Christ went further for you and I. Could we not do a little bit more for him, for others? Say, what does that look like? That looks like sacrifice. That looks like commitment. Instead of going 1 mile, can we go two? My father-in-law is great. I love talking with him. I love spending time with him. Whenever he comes over to the house, no matter whose house we're at, man always has his shoes on, always. I mean, you could walk into the house and all the kids, you know, when you walk in and they pile all their shoes right there, he'll step right over that, not taking the cue, and just walk into the house with his shoes on. So I asked him, I said, Dad, why do you always have your shoes on? So I'm always ready. I thought, what a good mentality to have concerning the Lord and service. Ever find yourself unprepared for a situation that you find yourself in? You know, I think we should spiritually wear our long-distance shoes. Say, what does that mean? Just ready to go the extra mile. That when the opportunity comes, we're not in a pair of flip-flops or something. When the opportunity comes, that we're actually looking for it. When was the last time you went the second mile? This was asked of you, but you went further. For the Lord, for others, go the extra mile. These are phrases that get thrown around all the time. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Go the extra mile. I remember growing up as a young boy before we were ever in church, and my mom saying phrases like that. Go the extra mile. Didn't know what that was until I got here. We're so consumed with our own. It's easy to get so consumed with your own schedule and things that we fail to realize the needs and the world around us. And sometimes people just need somebody to pick up their bag and go an extra mile with them. Bags are like burdens. So when was the last time you came by somebody and said, hey, let me help you carry that for a little while? There's been times in my life when I was carrying something pretty heavy. And it was so helpful to have somebody come by my way and say, let me help you with that. And they carried it a lot longer than I expected. How about you here today? Lastly, Matthew chapter number 5. Verse 42. Number 1, turn the other cheek. Number 2, thy cloak also. Number 3, try going 2 miles. Number 4. It says in verse 42, it says, give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. You know, the Lord told us that if we come unto him, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. See, we all are good at coming to God with our needs. We should. Hey, if you're here this morning and you've never asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, what on earth are you waiting on? Amen. Jesus Christ came to this earth 2,000 years ago. He died on the cross to pay for your sin. He shed his perfect blood on a cross like that, nailed to it. You and I should have been there. And all you have to do is put your faith and trust in him, solely, completely, and ask him, say, would you please forgive me of my sin? If you could earn your salvation, then why did he come? Say, no, I'm going to do enough good. I'm going to be such a good person that God is going to let me into heaven. You can't do enough good. Our best is still filthy to him. Amen. We need the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And you know what he does? He freely gives it. Around, day after Thanksgiving? Black Friday. Anybody remember Black Friday about 5-10 years ago before Amazon? Remember that? Now you can just Cyber Monday. You don't have to do Black Friday. You don't have to wait in lines. You don't have to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You didn't have to do that. But remember those days? You'd go there and they'd have this amazing deal. You, for $3.50, you get this KitchenAid mixer. Look at this thing. It's amazing. And you're waiting out at Kohl's, right? 4 o'clock in the morning, waiting, excited. Going to get a KitchenAid mixer for $3.50. Line, you can almost see the door. You're excited. They open the door, flood of people. You get there. There was one KitchenAid mixer for $3.50. All the other ones are $350. You thought, oh, I missed out on this great. Is that how salvation is? If so many people ask, there's none left for me. No. God says, I'll freely give it to you. Amen. All you do is got to ask of me. Why wouldn't you? Well, I got my own way. It's wrong. I'm sorry. Christ says, he is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's the only way. I'm thankful that he came to this earth, died a cruel death in my place, and then made it so easy. The Bible says that even a child can understand. Right. At 10 years of age, I put my faith and trust in Christ. The greatest decision I ever made. Why? Because it wasn't just for a moment. It was for eternity. Mrs. Turner, he gave me eternal life. Isn't that a blessing? It wasn't just, hey, this was a good week, this was a good year, this was a good decade. No, eternal life. He just gave it away. All I did was have to ask. He gives us this principle in verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Now maybe the Lord has blessed you with some things. And maybe there's some needs. Maybe the Lord could use you to be a blessing to those that don't. But I've worked so hard. Then what does this mean? Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. It sounds like being generous, kind, and loving. To which, may I say, you all do so well. I'm so encouraged by your generosity and sacrifice for the Lord. Little country church, here we are. How many kids do you think will come to VBS? Probably 600. Maybe not. Man, it'd be great if we could get 100 kids here this week. So appreciate the Fishers building Ellie. And the classrooms all decorated and getting decorated. And the study time going into the lessons. And you just freely give it. Little kids come in and they sit down. They have no idea the sacrifice and the effort and what it costs to put it all together. You just gave it. Why? Because there was a need. Right now, our kitchen is full. A lot of times, Pastor Seatman goes to Runnings, a store in town here, and they just give us stuff. They give stuff away. Some of it's expired. Some of it's close to expiring, but we give it away. That is not the case this morning, all right? That food in there is for Vacation Bible School. Don't touch it. Many of you brought it in. Say, oh, this is a pretty lamp. Don't touch it. That's my mother-in-law's. It's from India. We have it set up for... But is that your heart? If I have it and there's a need, I will gladly give it. Say, why would I do that? I'd lose. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not away. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter number 4, and we'll conclude. Appreciate your attentiveness this morning, and I know these things go kind of against us. Kind of against our human nature, but Bible says in 1 Peter chapter number 4 and verse 16. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, say, what does suffering look like? Turning the other cheek, maybe? Giving away your cloak also? Going the extra mile? Giving away freely. If any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You know what that means? That when you do things God's way, you know who gets glory? God does. Amen. No, I'm going to do things my way. No. If you're going to serve God, you're going to have to serve him his way. And this is what he says he likes. This is how he says to treat others. This is how he says to respond to others. To be able to take an insult. To give away that cloak. To go the extra mile. To give to him that asketh thee. Say, yeah, but I'm going to suffer for that. Yeah, and God says, I get glory, because that's not natural. That's God working in us. And when we go back to Matthew chapter number 5, we will read the remainder of the passage and we will conclude with this. Matthew chapter number 5 and verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. And sometimes I'm not sure where I fit into that. And sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? For if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, he says, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. He says, this is what you want to do, but this is what I'm telling you to do. So this morning, where did your toes get touched a little bit? Man, I struggle with that. I have a hard time. Yes, my heart is to serve the Lord, but man, some of those things are hard. No kidding. That's why we need the help and strength of Christ. God can help us with these things. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. Say, what does that mean? That means if you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? If your answer is, I don't know, or I hope that it's heaven, I can show you from the Scriptures. It can be shown to you from the Scriptures that you can know for sure that you have eternal life. It is only through Jesus Christ. If you're trying to get to heaven any other way than through Jesus Christ, you cannot. Maybe you're holding on a little too tight to your possessions. Maybe God is asking you to give it to Him. I could use that. Yeah, but this is for me. Are we guilty of that? Let's all stand this morning. How are you at taking an insult? How are you going the extra mile? So how could that even happen? Well, through that, God gets glory. No one looking around this morning, I asked you about salvation. If you're here this morning and you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to be your Savior at some point, and maybe you don't remember the exact day, but you remember the circumstance, you know for sure that if today was your last day on earth, no one looking around, that you know for sure that you'd spend eternity with Christ. You know for sure, 100%. Can you lift your hand up and say, yes, I know I'm saved. That's good. How about this? Pastor, I'm not sure. You said some things that made sense about Christ. I never thought about it like that. Would you just pray for me? I'm working through some things in my heart and in my mind. I'm not quite sure. Would you pray for me? Could you lift your hand up here today? All right. Appreciate that. Not quite sure. All right. So, Pastor, I want to serve the Lord with my heart and with my life, but some of these things seem kind of tough and go against my nature. I have a hard time turning the other cheek. I have a hard time going that extra mile. I have a hard time parting with the things that I've worked so hard to earn. Will you just pray for me as I want to serve the Lord, but these things are difficult. Would anybody like that here today? Sure, hands all over. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. If the Lord touched your heart about something, if the Lord touched your heart about something, why don't you come and talk to Him? That's what's wonderful about God, that He's available. He says, call unto me and I will answer thee. Heavenly Father, I ask you, bless this time of invitation now. God, maybe through this passage, as you work in our hearts, reminding us of how you want us to serve you. Lord, again, these are such good people that have demonstrated this generosity and kindness and sacrifice over and over again. But Lord, maybe in an area, maybe in some place that within their heart they know. Lord, I pray you bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? I invite you, if you raise your hand, to come. Come forward and talk to the Lord. Say, I like talking to the Lord at my seat. There's something about using the altar. Even in the Old Testament, they could have made a sacrifice in their own town, but God wanted it at the altar. I encourage you to come forward, talk to the Lord. I struggle with turning the other cheek. I struggle with going that extra mile. But I want to do better. All right, why don't you come talk to the Lord?